Welcome back, or good morning, good afternoon, wherever you might be. I am Jim Rome. I happen to be in Southern California. I am live. I'm in our SoCal-based studios, and it's great to be here. You have your telephone number. Phone call is coming up in a minute. Getting a lot of reaction to Cal in Vegas and the player profile for the Smack Off. I'll reset that for you momentarily. Program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. But before we do anything else, we start hour number two by having a conversation with a two-time Super Bowl champion. He is a Super Bowl MVP. He is a three-time All-Pro. He is a two-time NFL AP Offensive Player of the Year. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He is a member of the 1990s All-Decade Team. He appears courtesy of Defy Zero THC CBD-infused performance drink. He is Terrell Davis, TD. Before we get into football, let me first ask you, how are you and everybody around you doing during this really unusual time and this pandemic?
Just trying to figure out what to do with our time.
Right.
It's been interesting. But I think it's a time where you can kind of go back and, you know, catch up on some stuff. I really got a lot done during this last, 2 months. And I think the biggest thing is spending more time with the family and my kids and then really getting a chance to see them and their environment, with this distance learning. I get a chance to sit with my daughter who's preschool, and I've never seen her, actually sit there and learn and show me all the stuff that she's really growing in. So that's pretty cool to see that. My sons are doing the same thing. So I just try to take advantage of the time. That's all.
There you go. Terrell Davis joining us. Now, from checking your Twitter feed, it's pretty clear that you're also continuing to get your workouts in. You know, I'm always fascinated by guys and how they approach their retirement when they've been competing and training and denying themselves their entire lives. When they're done playing, some guys like to say, hey, you know what, this is my time. I'm going to just relax. I'm going to enjoy life. Others just stay right at it, and it's part of their lifestyle. What's been your approach?
Yeah, I always feel like I got a game to prepare for. I can't turn it off. It's just in me. I like to work out. I like to feel like, I'm in shape. I like to feel like I'm competing for something. And I always feel like if I stop working out, I almost feel like that's when you just feel like, you're starting to die. So like it's the end. So I just feel like for me, it keeps me motivated to keep working out. And again, like when you work out, your body releases endorphins and it just makes you feel better. Releases stress, gives you a chance to kind of just be in a different space. And, 2 years ago, I don't know, actually 3 years ago, when I created this company, Defy, I was struggling to work out. And, this was kind of the second kind of chance for me to be able to feel good again. So that's why we created this company, Defy. And I really have felt great the last 3 years, which allowed me to get up and work out, and, 3 to 4 times a week as opposed to 1 or 2 times when I was doing before. So all is well, man. I'm just trying to, stay in shape the best I can. I'm 47 years old, man. 50 is right around the corner.
Dude. TD, you look amazing. Honestly, you look amazing. But again, this is not by some stroke of luck. You're putting in the time. You're doing the work. I want to talk to you about the Broncos, and I want to talk about your career. But you and I talked about migraines in the past. And the attitude towards CBD has changed quite a bit over the years. I've talked to one retired athlete after another who has said that they wished CBD-related pain relief and performance products were an option for them when they played. Do you feel the same way about that?
Absolutely. When I played, I didn't know anything about CBD at all. And obviously, the last 3 years when I started looking at it and doing more research, and it was clear to me that it worked for pain management and for battling inflammation. And those were the two things that I really was struggling with. And so once I started to get on a routine with it, I saw immediate results. And so you think about it, you're like, wow, we had this when we were playing, because the name of the game, man, you know what it is. The name of the game is to get you back on the field and to play the next game, but feel better. And to have something that that's natural, that has the effect that it has, and, that really doesn't have any long-term effects to it, it's really been remarkable for the results. So, yeah, absolutely. I always tell people, if I had this, I'm not saying I'm going to play, 10 more years, but I think you would have played more games where you would have felt more close to the 90% or 100% versus going through the game feeling 50 and 60% and feeling those pains and aches throughout a game. And it's tough on an athlete when you have to think about that as you play.
We're talking to Terrell Davis. You know, something, I don't know if you were watching, I would imagine you probably did, but were you watching The Last Dance? And if so, you know, there was that reference to when the Bulls were playing the Pistons in the playoffs and Scottie Pippen had that migraine headache. It seems like Michael Jordan, even to this day, is still having a hard time believing that somebody could not play through a migraine. As somebody who has dealt with them, how brutal are they? I mean, it's not just another headache, right?
They are. I think the word, when you slap headache on it, I think it diminishes what it is. It's the headache part is 10 times worse than a normal headache, but it's really a condition. So what happens, it's not just the headache part. For me, I have temporary blindness. That's really from a half, can last from a half hour to an hour. And then you have nausea, vomiting. Sometimes you're disoriented. You can't remember things. And I've had migraines as long as 2 days. And so, yeah, it's a very debilitating condition. It's a disease. And it's on a spectrum disorder. So you can have it on a scale from a 1 to a 10. And mine were more of the 10 variety. I had more severe migraines. And now you're trying to play a sport. It's tough, man. And I commend Scotty and anybody who plays a sport and you play with a migraine. If it's a big game and you're a competitor, I don't care what it is, man. You're going to play through it. And that's, and then people are like, well, how'd you play in that game? You know what? I found strength somewhere. I was not going to come out of that game and leave my boys hanging. I had to suck it up, and that's what Scotty did.
We're talking to Terrell Davis. I can appreciate that. Like, I don't get them so much anymore, but I used to. And if it's on a spectrum of 1 to 10, they were not a 10, but I know exactly what you're talking about. There's, like, that loss of sight. I used to get these wavy lines where you couldn't see anything, and that would last maybe 20 minutes or a half hour, and then that would go away. And in the beginning, you think you're all right, but then the headache kicks in, the nausea kicks in.
Yeah.
Man, they're no joke. They're not fun. They're not
no.
just a headache. You don't hit that with a couple of Bear, and then you're good.
No.
It's a different deal.
No, bro. Not whatsoever, man. And imagine putting on a helmet.
It's right, no, exactly.
Go bang heads with somebody.
No, I can't imagine that. I simply cannot imagine that, because I would imagine, like, I'm a guy that I don't like to ever miss work for any reason, but when I would get those, I played through them, but in front of a microphone, not knocking heads with somebody else. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Listen, when you and I, the last time you came on, we were talking about Steve Atwater, or since the last time. Atwater was voted into the Hall of Fame. He had been waiting a long time for that.
Yeah.
Terrell, you've been telling everybody that he deserved to be in. So what's your reaction now that it's official?
Yeah, man, that was a great day. I mean, to hear Steve finally get inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and it's been long overdue. And I talked to Steve over the years, and he's such a guy that it honestly didn't bother him. But it bothered me, you know, that he was not in there. And I said, Steve, I understand that, you know, you may not care about this, but, you know, you've got to come out and let people know that you care, that you are watching and that you really feel like, you know, you should be in the Hall of Fame. And he was like, well, I don't know. But then he started to come out a little bit more talking to the voters. But I'm not saying that's why he's in, but I do think that sometimes when you're not visible, some of the voters do tend to look at guys who are, and they get in, and some of the older guys get lost. But the bottom line is that he's finally in. At this point, it doesn't matter when he got in. He's finally in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Well deserved. And Steve has been, what people are giving credit for is, you know, when you watch when we had a Super Bowl run, and even Super Bowl 32, I mean, I ended up becoming MVP in that game. But watch that game, Steve. Closely could have been considered for MVP in that game. The plays he made, the sack on Brett Favre, strip fumble, batted down the last pass that was intended, I think it was for Robert Brooks, and he blew up that thing. And he's made play after play. He was a mentor of mine when I first got to the Broncos, told me things that I was tipping off when we were running certain plays. But he's just been a pro and a guy who's unselfish and just comes to work every day. So, I'm glad Steve's finally in.
It, really interesting to hear you say that as a Hall of Fame running back, that he was one of your mentors. When you first came up, aside from Steve Atwater, who were some of the other guys that may have taken you under their wing? Who else did you look to?
When I got to Denver?
Yes.
Yeah. Of course, John. John was one that Playing with John, man, it's like playing with Michael Jordan, man. Like you better bring it, dude. You can't come to a game with anything less than your best. Shannon Sharpe was somebody that Shannon really changed the way that I approached the game from a help standpoint and preparing, you know, getting your meals prepared, doing all things off the field, getting the massages, the acupunctures, the chiropractor. And I never did none of that. And I'm watching Shannon the way he went about his business. And I was like, that dude is on another level. So I just kind of watched him, went out to his place in Atlanta, trained with him on the offseason. He put me on to his nutritionist. So he was really good at that. And again, all these guys were really good. So there was quite a few people there. My coach, Bobby Turner, was really instrumental in kind of taking me to another level mentally with the game. But everybody needs those. And, you know, I certainly grew over the years. I wasn't Terrell Davis when I first got into the Broncos, but it took a team of coaches and players and people to kind of help get that out of me and help me develop into a pro.
Hall of Famer Terrell Davis joining us. One quick thought also, you know, you talk to Bronco players, it seems like the current players, they're really fired up about quarterback Drew Lock. As a team, when you feel like you found your guy quarterback and you've got confidence in that guy, how much does that impact every other player in the locker room? Is that the kind of thing that gives everybody a life?
Yes, it is. And that's when you talk about a special player and they say he has that it factor. It's not just on the field. It's how that person affects other people around him. And it's contagious. When you have a player that it just has that, you know, you call it swag, call it whatever you want to call it, and it's like the person that people's going to follow him. They gravitate towards Drew Lock. And he's found a way in that locker room that everybody speaks like he is the dude. Like, they love his confidence. They love his competitiveness. They like his, you know, that he's involved. He's engaged with the teammates, and his on the field play is there. So, you know, you can do all you want to. You can be a good teammate, but if your play's not on the field, then some guys won't respect you. And it looks like everybody's respecting him for not only what he's doing off the field, but what he's doing on the field. And so, I'm excited about it, man. What I saw from him last year, we all are excited to see how he picks up in 2020. And now you throw some weapons out there, Jerry Jeudy, they got KJ Hamler, you know, they went and got a tight end, and Big Albert O, you know. So the Broncos, man, they got to keep up with Kansas City, and they recognize that. So you better bring some firepower. Don't forget Melvin Gordon, they got over and signed as a free agent too, so. It'll be interesting to see how this offense clicks this year.
TD, what do you think about that really quickly? Melvin Gordon, do you like that pickup? Did they need him? Do you like that fit?
Of course, man. Here's what I know. You can never have two. I mean, they have Philip Lindsay, and, you know, Royce is there, but you can never have too many backs. And to bring Melvin Gordon, who is a different style of runner than Philip Lindsay, it makes sense to me. You know, so absolutely. Ian, he's in his own division. You know, maybe he gets a little – get his blood boiling and get him to get fired up a little bit. But no, absolutely, man. I like Melvin. I've always liked Melvin Gordon. I thought, you know, he was one of those backs that never really gets the credit that he deserves. But I think he's a really, really good running back. And so, yeah, hopefully Denver's able to use him in a way that can kind of utilize his talents.
That's what I'm talking about. I like him too. I've always liked him. And it's just a matter of fit and use. And they have an embarrassment of riches there. So, TD, if people want more information about DeFi, where do they go to get it?
Yeah, go to drinkdefi.com. We just released our DeFi Zero, so it has no sugar in it. And again, that's drinkdefi.com. We're pretty excited about it, man. So come see us.
Good to hear it. Two-time Super Bowl champ, a Super Bowl MVP, Terrell Davis. Great to have you back, TD. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Jim, always, my man.
That was fun. Great talking to you. Always good to have you on. TD, Terrell Davis. He looks amazing right now. Check him out on Instagram. And again, I know I bring this up, but it's a source of fascination to me. And I'm not in any way judging anybody. I'm just fascinated by athletes that when some get to retirement, they don't do what they did their entire career. And I understand that, right? There's a lot of talk about, like, Michael Jordan. You see Mike, and he's sitting up there in that chair with his cigar and his tumbler of whatever was in there. you know, Mike clearly is not a member of that breakfast club anymore, where he gets up at 6 a.m. and they go hard, and they go really hard. And then you see other athletes. Like, if you look at Terrell Davis right now, I mean, he looks amazing. And then when I asked him why, I thought he gave a great, great explanation. Because you want to work out, because it makes you feel good, because you're still competing, and you still want that feeling. And endorphins start to fire. But then I could see where if you spent your entire life sacrificing and grinding, and you were in the gym every single day, and you had no days off, and if you got to the finish line of your career, wouldn't you earn that? Wouldn't you want to kick back? Wouldn't you want to eat some fast food? Wouldn't you want to fire up a cigar? Like, I'm not in any way here to judge. I see both sides. I'm just fascinated by both sides. Who does it and who doesn't? TD looks like $1 million. All right, when we return, you know who sounds like $1 million? Cal. Well, if they paid by the threat, he would sound like $1 million. The question is any of this going to carry over to the so-called big arena? Is Cal going to be the man in the arena? He's got to get there first. We'll find out. I want to reset that because I got a lot of reaction to that. At Rich Micklebus tweets, oh my God, Cal is amazing. He doesn't care about anything. I love it. This is another reason why I do the player profiles. Like, when you think of Cal, you just think of that one soundbite that we've hammered, pounded into the ground. Hey, Conor McGregor, I'm going to meet you at the airport and rip your beard off and make you eat it.
I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
You think that that's all that guy has. But he's got so much more. And if I didn't have that player profile, you wouldn't know that. Also, there was something that went under the radar during that interview that was awesome. He mentioned KJ Hamler, one of my favorite sound bites ever. His mama with the birthday rap. You know, any chance I can to reset that, I will. All right, so all of that is coming up. Still ahead, Kalani Sitake, BYU head football coach. That's at 10:40 Pacific time. Jim Rome Podcast, episode 131. We have done 130 episodes of the Jim Rome Podcast. My guy, actor David Boreanaz, is going to join me later on today. Really good one. We taped it yesterday. Look for it. And we will come right back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So talking to Terrell Davis about the Broncos, remember last year they got off to a tough start. They were 3-8, but then they won four of their final five games. And everybody was fired up about quarterback Drew Lock. And when I asked Terrell Davis about that, he said, not only that, but they've got weapons. They drafted Jerry Jeudy in the first round. They added Melvin Gordon. And then he mentioned KJ Hamler. I love it when anybody mentions him. One, I like his game. Watching him at Penn State, man, this guy can fly. Can absolutely fly. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays in the NFL. But most of all, I'm fired up when everybody mentions him because it gives me a chance to mention his mama, MC Kitty. You see, KJ's parents did a couple of birthday raps that were absolutely amazing. I cannot lie. I still listen to the rap generally about once a week because it always makes me smile. It's amazing.
Once upon a time in a city not far away, there was a kid that was born on this very day. 7/08 is the day we dedicate. A Christmas for y'all, hey, let's celebrate. On the field, he's a kid you love or hate. He's the one with a smile that radiates. His attitude also captivates. His fear just makes you gravitate. This year to show them what you really gonna do. Show them all the big things the joystick can do. Hit them with the speed and the ha-ha moves. Give it to them slow, just not too soon. Let the dogs play, bust it out like boom. Move out the way, y'all, KJ coming through. Why, you didn't see him? Sorry, boo.
Hey.
Let me tell you how this year's gonna go. I'm just a mom, so I really don't know. But in my mind, I'm something like a pro. But this is the year to put on the show. Run a slant, cut fast, catch it at the 24. Catch it high end, grab it and tuck it low. Run down straight to the end zone. Hit him with the Haitian, the Heisman pole.
I'm over you, boo. You 20 years old. Happy birthday. Everybody been texting me like, where the birthday rap at? Let me tell y'all something. This is it. This is it. Not no more for the 21 Big Ten Network, PS Pan. I'm over it. We're done. I'm out.
Come on, mama. It's like she walked out on top. She walked out in the prime of her career. Like she just said, that's it. We're not doing it again. We're done. I'm over it. It's like Gayle Sayers going out. Jim Brown in the middle of her career. MC Kitty. She said 7/08 is the day we celebrate. You know, we should make that a new jungle holiday. 7/08. So that's always cool. MC Kitty. Hey, Pops is not getting enough run either. I mean, she's the star for sure. But Pops also did a great job there. And the really funny thing about that, when you listen to the audio, it drops out a couple of times in the middle. It was Saquon Barkley snapping in the middle of it. That's why that sound dropped. Speaking of sound, we had Cal in Vegas, in case you missed it. I think a lot of people thought that this guy was maybe able to get off a line or two. This guy is so much more than just a line or two.
Danica, they refer to you as the queen. The queen of what? The last thing you ruined was the first hour of the smack-off. Keep Mike's in his name out of your mouth. He's my pick. Maybe Jim can start up a women's smack-off league featuring Jolene, Sarah T., and that little bitch, Brad and Corona. I'd like to congratulate Adam Hawk for finishing the L.A. Marathon. I mean, I guess you could call that running. And I was surprised at how well Keith Arnold did. Keith, you don't even look athletic with your little bird chest and that huge gut.
Bodie and Pearland, you're a grown man that uses words like Bubba and some bitch. Really? Floyd Mayweather thinks you're illiterate.
Dana White, you look just like Andre Agassi, except you're really big and fat. Dana, I love the way you stand in between the fighters that weigh in, like you could do something.
Mike McCarthy. Hey, Mike, I hope you're in your car listening to me right now, you fat ass. And you can't coach. Mike, you have the brains of a pissing.
Old man Ritt doesn't have a care in the world. Just sitting back there crushing candy and flicking boogers all over the place. Like some two-year-old. Jim, I have to go. I got an elevator full of women coming up here to see me. And the smack off on the three-minute man, but in the bedroom, I'm all night.
This dude. All right, so listen. Be real. How many of you are thinking to yourself right now, damn, I had no idea that guy was so funny? I mean, be honest. How many of you are saying to yourself, damn, this guy's got lines? Damn, I had no idea that guy was that funny. I mean, even if you don't agree with all of it, Dana White, you look just like Andre Agassi, except you're big and fat.
Fat?
Dana White's the best. I got to know more about the island. They're not saying too much about the island. Fight Island. All right, so quickly, reaction to Cal in Vegas. Pauly T. Wall, quote, Jamarcus Russell thinks that Cal has squandered his opportunities. This is the storyline that I'm trying to sell. All those lines, all that game, and only one actual appearance in the smack-off since 2015. After four golden tickets, he's parlayed four golden tickets into a single appearance and was outside the top 10 with all those lines. Phil in B Hills, Cal with a pretty good smack rundown. It was. All right, so he called out Matt in Vancouver as part of that. Matt in Vancouver tweets, I've regrettably met and had a cocktail with him, and Cal is legitimately as much of an alcoholic, senseless little moron as he appears to be. Hashtag smack off. At Not Total Big E tweets, if Chuck tossed Lil Cal through a window, would it be considered child abuse? Rome, my goodness, I didn't realize how freaking hilarious Cal in Vegas is. I think he's a dark horse. James in Tucson, there is a small part of me that thought the same thing. And I know the guy. I mean, I know the guy from calling the show, but I've been here for every one of his calls, and still there's a very small part of me that thought, damn, this guy's even funnier than I thought. I knew he would be, or we wouldn't have put that together, but listening to it back in total, this dude's funny. He is legitimately funny. Steven Seagal, quote unquote, tweets, Cal is relentlessly cocky, which has its certain charms. Chris in Montana, quote, Cal sucks. And that's a take. All right, so obviously about 50-50. I don't know how you can hear that and think that it's not funny. That was funny. I mean, we all can define funny different ways, but to me, that's funny. That made me laugh. And even in playback, when I heard it 10 minutes earlier, it made me laugh again.
Just like that giant zit on Brad and Corona's arse, I'll be there.
One more as I go to break. Poor Cal needs something in his life to care about other than placing 1,000 bets per month and being tiny. Damn, homie, where you been? Homie in Newport Beach, out of the woodwork. Are you listening, Cal? I know you are. Are you taking notes, Cal? I know you are. Are you ready to fight everybody who's referenced you, Cal? Cal wants to fight all of Twitter. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, we talk BYU football. Kalani Sitake will be joining me. Before I discuss that with him, I do owe you a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hashtag the good father. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, we just bumped back with Carl Anderson's dad, John, with a shout out to the smack off. Hashtag the good father. Oh, that is amazing. Send us your videos. We are using them on the TV side. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. A tremendous Wednesday to you. If you're on hold, hang in. Right now, we are joined by the head football coach at BYU. He is entering his fifth season as head coach. He has led the Cougars to 3 bowl games in his first 4 years. BYU is coming off a 7-6 season last year. Kalani Sitake is my guest. Kalani, it's so good to have you back. Let me first ask, how are you and your family doing in the middle of this extremely unusual time?
We're doing great, you know, and I think this, although it is some stressful times, we've been able to capitalize on it and spend some quality time together and try to make the most of the adjustments in our schedule. But it's been a lot of fun, and I understand a lot of people are struggling out there. I just want to let them know that we're thinking about them in our prayers. And for the Sitake family, we've become a lot closer and trying to make the most of it.
Absolutely. In fact, in terms of the family, I bring this up because your daughter Sadie posted a video of the two of you dancing to Countdown. I was blown away by this. Now, we've talked about your legendary dancing in the past, but this was some next level stuff. You were really locked in. How much time went into prepping that video, and how much fun was it to make?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, not that much time. And, you know, it was a challenge from my daughter's dance club, and I think for you know, to do with the family member, for me and my daughters, you know, especially when your kids ask you to do something, I want to do my best. And so I've been bragging to her that her dance moves come from me, but I think I don't know if you see her mom dancing, you'll realize that I'm probably the one holding her back from becoming a great dancer.
That's you know, great.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun and try to do as much as we can. And whenever my baby girls ask me, I'm going to do whatever it is, whether it's TikTok or dancing or doing some kind of choreography. Choreography is a lot of fun, you know, so I enjoy it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was going to ask you, how much time have you and the kids been spending on TikTok, and what's that been like?
It's been so much fun. I'm not a big social media guy. I don't get on it quite often, except for the recruit. But I think it's been there's so many funny things out there, and so many funny people, and it's been really cool to see some of the creativity that you see people doing things. And I think for us, we just try to have as much fun as we can with it. And more than anything, I've been impressed with the skills that are out there from everyone that I've seen that puts their stuff out there, especially the humor side of things.
There's some really creative people out there. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake is my guest. Now, one of the things I've always appreciated about our conversations is the fact that we don't just talk football, because you are interested in things outside the game. So in that sense, how have you gone about connecting with your players during this time and checking in with them about how they're doing as young men and not just football players?
Yeah, you know, at the beginning, I think everyone was just trying to connect and make sure that the players are doing well. But it's more than anything, just for myself and our staff to be out there for our players to educate them on what's happening and make them socially aware of the issues that could happen, the dangers, but also let them know that we're here for them. And a lot of that sometimes when you're dealing with it, it just doesn't have to be the game of football. It could be a lot of different things. And our players struggle with a lot of different things just like everybody else's players do. And I want them to know that we're here as a resource for them to lean on, whether it's some advice from a person that's been through the game and has played college football, even at BYU, or if it's just some things that they're struggling with and as far as relationships or handling the juggling everything with academics and representing BYU. You know, I think that we have a lot of things to share there, and it doesn't have to always be football. And it's actually kind of a relief when you can do things other than just focused on the game of football. You can do things that can help someone in their life and help them transition from being a young man to an adult.
And I will ask you about football in 1 minute, but you know, you've been stressing the point you just made, and that also that as important as your job is and as important as sports are, there are still more important things in life. Do you feel like maybe you come out of this experience viewing things a little bit differently and maybe feeling even more gratitude for the things that you used to think were just kind of normal? I mean, do you come out of this feeling with even greater gratitude?
Of course. I think everyone can attest to that, you know, I get paid to win football games. That's my job, but that's not my motivation. My motivation is to help people, and what I get to do is help young men transition to become an adult and be contributors to the community and to society altogether. But you know, it's hard for me when you're that's your job and that's your motivation to not recognize that people are struggling throughout the world, and they're struggling in our country, and it doesn't have to be a sports team. It could be businesses. It could be people that are struggling with everything that's affecting the economy and all that. And I think it's important that they know that there's others thinking of them and trying to do their best. And I think we have a group of players. We have our team, 70% of our team are guys that put aside their own life for 2 years to go out there and serve others. And so it only makes sense that during this time that we're available to help people in the community. And I've been really impressed with the players and from our team, seeing them go out and help people out in the community, help people get better and whatever they can do to help serve others. And that's my honor as a coach to get to see them do that on the front lines. And then I've been really impressed with everyone that's doing some of the hard work, to see the people transition where their business is and doing whatever we can to help support them. I think it's important that we do that. And as we trend towards getting things back to normal, I'm looking forward to things back to normal, which means football in the fall and everyone enjoying life and staying safe.
Kalani Sitake, the head football coach at BYU, joining us once again. All right, so on the football front, you were able to hold 6 practices before everything was shut down in March. What were the practices like, and what information were you able to take away from them?
Well, I wish we had the 9 other practices, but I can say we had 2 live parts in our practice, 2 live sessions that gave us a lot to look at, and I've been really excited that we had to play 3 quarterbacks last year and not what we planned on doing because of injury. Now we have a deep squad at quarterback, and we had to start a bunch of different linemen because of injuries. And now I we've been a young team for the last couple of years. Now I think we're more older and experienced team, meaning more time on the field. We have a lot of guys that have started and will provide us more depth, which has been kind of the detriment at BYU, is that the depth is, when you test it, sometimes it's not as good as you'd like it to be. And I can honestly say right now our depth is a lot better than it has been, but I'm really excited on what we're seeing from our players. During this time, I saw our players grow closer together and become more self-sufficient. They had to they'd be independent to handle their own business, and I saw guys doing all the things the right way. But more than that, I saw our players and leadership, even when they're not able to see each other, those guys bind together and bond together as a group, and doing it through virtual meetings and things like that has been a sight to see for me, and I can't take credit for that. I just have really good young men that are raised by wonderful families, and I get to be around them a lot and see the things that they get to do as leaders.
You know, and then you mentioned the virtual meetings. You've been able to use Zoom meetings to connect with people outside the program as well, and you connect them to people inside the program. As an example, Andy Reid spoke to the athletic department, Steve Young, Dennis Pitta, and more have spoken to position groups. How valuable is it to have these sessions, and what have your guys been able to take away from them?
Oh, it's been huge. You know, our And we've had a lot of stars that are on here, a lot of guys that are in the Hall of Fame and guys that are all pro and won Super Bowls. And that's been all really good, but it's also connecting them with just the regular guys that had a role that loved their role here on the team, you know, and it could have been something that they just were a special teams phenom and enjoyed their time at BYU. But connecting them, I think, has been really important. Not everyone's going to be the big stars that you mentioned, the Steve Youngs, the Jim McMahons, and Ty Detmers and all those great ones that are out there. And I think it's important that they know that everyone that has a role here relished it and enjoyed it and enjoyed their time. And they're just as important as everyone else, because, in fact, they're the ones that help elevate those others. You know, without those old linemen, Steve Young wouldn't be able to do what he did, without the receivers catching the ball. And so and the great part is listening to those great former Cougars talk about their gratitude to the people that helped them get to where they're at. And so it's been a really positive moment for us. And that's something that we never would have thought about before, because, you know, getting them sitting around a computer screen, it was a huge improvement for our team and bonded us not only with each other, but with the alumni and the former greats.
I mean, Kalani, Andy Reid is something else. I mean, he is something else, no matter where you work, where you coach, where you've been. But as one coach, and especially being a valued member of the BYU family the way you are, how happy were you for him to see him win that Super Bowl finally?
Oh, that was awesome. And you know, just I love the way that he kept those guys going, because things were looking tough. But, I mean, what does it matter when those guys came back from 24 points earlier in the playoffs to win a game? And so it's like you just can't count them out. And he had a gunslinger in Patrick Mahomes that just had this sense of confidence that was really impressive. And I thought it was a really good example for all football players and all teams to watch, that you just keep playing and you keep doing what you're supposed to, and coaches remain calm and trust your players to make the plays. And that was such a cool example for me as a coach to watch Andy Reid at his best. And he's coached some great ones, but they're able to take, you know, that team and then elevate them to winning a Super Bowl. Now, I'm a little sad because Fred Warner is one of our guys, the guys that I coached, that is on the other side, and I love the Niners as well. But, man, it was so cool to see, Dan Sorensen and Andy Reid and those guys, you know, the Chiefs, get that Super Bowl win.
Kalani Sitake joining me for another couple of moments. All right, so I know that you're going to play wherever you play, whatever the situation is, you're going to be ready to do it, and your team will be too. Would you be okay, though, playing without fans in the stadium? What would that be like?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I've been asked that many times, and it's like we watch all the UFC fights, right? I don't think those punches were any softer, you know. And when you watch those guys fight with nobody in the arena, they still celebrated like there were fans there. It was the competition is the most important thing, and when you focus in it, and the true competitors don't worry about who's watching. They just focus on what they've worked so hard and sacrificed to be in that moment. And then even at the end, there's a huge sense of sportsmanship and a mutual respect. And that's what's going to happen regardless of what sport it is, whether it's MMA or if it's basketball or football or baseball, whatever it could be. I think you're going to see a lot of people just have that fierce competition, but a wonderful mutual respect, especially going through what we've all had to go through in the world together in this last couple months. And I think it's going to make the world of sports a lot better. I'm thankful that during this time we've had wonderful people like yourself and others that are in the sports media that have kept things creative and had fun with things and be able to keep the sense of sports coming alive, and that, you know, keeping everyone optimistic that things are going to get better and return to normal. And I think we're seeing that trend the right way. So I'm really excited about the next few weeks.
Well, Kalani, you too. You're helping us keep it going, and I appreciate that. One really quick thought. You mentioned the UFC. I you probably would agree with this. I'm a huge MMA guy, UFC guy. I was shocked at how good it was, even without the fans. I mean, clearly I'd like to have them there, and it'll be good when they come back. But that first event in Jacksonville, I was blown away, but it's really a tribute to the athletes, right? The way they lock in and the way they perform, regardless of the environment around them. That's what it speaks to.
Exactly. And, you know, I think it actually got them more focused. You saw them enter the arena and enter the octagon with a different sense, you know. And I think no distractions, no one trying to steal their hat or anything like that. It was just walking in with a mission in sight of competing, and then just focusing on the other. I mean, it was such a cool thing to see, and I think a lot of people and everyone that had their eyes on it were really excited about it. But it was also cool to see the you know, the match with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, and I think that's something that was really cool. They should keep that going, the trash talking that was going on, and it was just fun to just see people compete, and regardless of what the sport was, I think this whole thing, this whole transition, the pandemic, will make sports better, and I think everyone will appreciate it a lot more. And I know the participants in the arena will do well, but I imagine the fans will follow suit and make this an even more enjoyable part of life, which is what we call sports.
I really agree with you. He is the head football coach at BYU, entering his fifth season there, and has led them to 3 bowl games in his first 4 seasons. Kalani Sitake, my guest. Kalani, I appreciate you very much. Great to have you back. Thank you so much for doing it, and I'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thanks for your time, Jim. Appreciate you.
You too. Appreciate you, coach, very much. Kalani Sitake, always good to talk BYU football. We come back with a third and final hour. It's an open phone hour. If you've been waiting to get through, now is the time to call 1-800-636-8686.